Greetings and thanks for joining us. I'm Casey Green, the founding director of the Campus Computing Project and also the moderator for the weekly This Week at Inside Higher Ed podcast. And this podcast today is a This Week sponsored postscript featuring a conversation with representatives from Oracle Corporation, which is also a sponsor of the This Week series that launched on May 2nd. You can access the This Week programs online at insidehighered.com/thisweek. Joining us for the conversation today about cloud computing and student information systems are Steve Hahn, who is the Interim Vice Provost for Enrollment Management at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Cole Clark is the Global Vice President of Oracle Education and Research. And Mark Armstrong is the Vice President of Oracle Higher Education Product Development. Let me begin with some context for this conversation. Earlier this year at its Alliance 2014 event, Oracle announced several major investments in its higher education solutions portfolio. Key among these investments is the Oracle Student Cloud, a new student information system built from the ground up with embedded social and mobile capabilities to support modern modalities of learning. The Oracle Student Cloud will feature a compelling mobile user interface that enables colleges and universities to extend, brand, and differentiate the unique student experience offered by each of Oracle's higher education clients. The first phase of the Student Cloud is designed to support core capabilities of enrollment, payment, and assessment. To support these major investments and to be sure that Oracle is designing and delivering the products and services that address the needs of its campus clients, Oracle recently announced the Oracle Customer Strategic Design Program. This is a new initiative that will engage with a core set of committed higher education institutions. Oracle expects significant contributions from these institutions, as the Customer Strategic Design Program will draw on the individual and collective experience, expertise, and expectations of the participating campuses. At the October 2014 EDUCAUSE Conference, Oracle announced the initial four members of the design program: Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, Stanford University, the University of Texas System, and the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Following the EDUCAUSE Conference, Cambridge University in the United Kingdom also joined the small group of pilot institutions. These five institutions will work very closely with Oracle to provide guidance and domain expertise that will help shape the design and the development of the Oracle Student Cloud. Their early engagement with Oracle and with each other on this initiative will assure that Oracle Student Cloud application can be used across a variety of institutions. So I'd like to begin the conversation with Steve Hahn. Steve, you're the Interim Vice President for Enrollment Management, as I said, at Wisconsin, and you are also a key member of the campus task force that's planning for the deployment of the Student Cloud. Let's talk about the university's experience with Oracle and why the opportunity to be part of this design program was compelling. Steve, to you.
Casey, thank you, and thank you for having me a part of this program. We have had at UW-Madison a long relationship with Oracle, not only for our student information system, but also for a variety of other modules which we have gotten from Oracle over the years. My own experience is in the student information system, and as a large public and research one university, Oracle and UW-Madison have had a good relationship. We have provided comments over the years that have found their way into their current student information system, which we use. But the Strategic Design Partner Program is a very important and new way that the UW-Madison can get in on the ground floor and completely reconceptualize and rethink how we go about the business of managing students. So I think it's an unparalleled opportunity for our campus. UW-Madison is also part of a system of University of Wisconsin schools where we have about 12 instances of our student information system. And so we also hope that we can become a leader and a model for our system, working with cloud student information systems as well.
Steve, I want to focus on the cloud issue because when you and I talked before we began the recording of this conversation, I started talking about the data stuff, and you were almost emphatic saying, yeah, the data are absolutely critical in terms of what we do at Wisconsin, but also what was truly compelling about us joining this was the fact that this was going to be cloud-based.
Yes, that's important. The you know, the data aspect is important. I mean, business informatics and analytics are what we need to get out of any system that we use. It's how our campus leadership makes their decisions, and it's vitally important. But the critical aspect of the cloud was that it allowed us to resync the delivery of our student information system to our customers, administrative as well as students, in a highly mobile, often remote method of delivery. But also, Oracle has begun this project with an eye toward the non-credit and continuing student aspects. Now, we use our current information system for this to a degree, but here we have in this cloud student system a system that is being designed out of the box, if you will, with the needs of the lifelong learner in mind. And this has been a focus on our campus for the last couple of years. I know it's been a focus on every campus. And so the ability to jump in on the ground floor and help affect the development of this is a critical opportunity for UW-Madison.
Mark Armstrong, let me turn to you. Your day job is that you're Vice President of Oracle Development, Product of Education Product Development. What makes this different, this initiative, different than the kind of incremental upgrade that we see across the software industry in terms of campus ERP applications?
Well, thanks, Casey. I think, first and foremost, we're designing the product from the ground up and rethinking a number of aspects, and I'm not just talking about the underlying architecture for, you know, flexibility, but the sequence of the features and functions and the use cases that tie to the sets of customers that that our customers would like to address with this product. That's a long answer to say we think that by looking at what is commonly called non-traditional customers, you can call them continuing ed or further ed, that model and the flexibility that that drives really is going to have a huge impact on the next generation of student information systems. I've even had the CIO from one of our largest research universities speak to me privately and say, you know, frankly, we know that the programs, any new programs we start to deploy here are going to look a lot more like what they do at the University of Phoenix than the programs that we put out in the past. And so that to us means that we need to rethink some things and just start with a new baseline, a new set of technology. Now, how that merges out there with the traditional programs and with the traditional systems that are on campus is something that also has to be considered. You know, campuses are complex places, a very heterogeneous environment. Our customers have made tremendous amounts of investment in their current product footprint. And that's, you know, that's something that we think at Oracle we can address with this product and its ability to evolve with our customers.
And Cole Clark, this is a global initiative. Cambridge is involved. What's the added value of having non-U.S. institutions as part of this initiative?
Well, I think, thanks, Casey. I think there are obviously nuances and differences across higher ed systems around the world. But one thing that definitely seems to be in the forefront, whether you're talking about the U.S. or Western Europe, or even some of the emerging economies that are pouring significant amounts of funding into education to shift their economies from a resource-based economy to a knowledge economy, is the need to drive a student experience that is akin to what the consumers of education are used to experiencing in their daily lives, interacting with all sorts of online entities, commercial or otherwise. And so we're taking, obviously taking the input from the various partners that are part of the design program, as well as through other channels. We have an industry strategy council that consists of about 30 institutions that give us a lot of feedback and input in this area. But definitely, you know, a common thread is the need to have that modern customer experience or constituent experience, and that's one of the core principles that underpins the development of this product. I think as a company, we have a tremendous amount of experience in developing those kinds of systems in a variety of different industries. We're not just focused on education, as you and probably your listeners know. We're into just about every major industry on the planet, and so there's a lot of lessons learned and capabilities, synergies that we can derive from the work that we're doing in many, many other areas as well.
Colin, Mark, I want to return to the two of you with something that Steve said earlier, that he talked about the future at Madison is less about what we once were as a traditional institution, but more about taking an expansive view of lifelong learners, of students who may be in and out, of people who, in some ways, we may look more like the University of Phoenix in the future than we did the University of Wisconsin at Madison in our past. One of the concerns that many in higher education have about information systems, and this is not about Oracle, but information systems at large, is that if generals are constantly fighting the last war, designers are constantly designing for past needs as opposed to future requirements. How will the Design Council help address that future requirement situation? Mark, let me turn to you on that first.
Sure. Well, and I think, let me just say there are some underlying requirements that, that need to be informed by customers who are experiencing it day to day. So students need to register, fees need to be paid, financial aid needs to be processed. It's a big machine and it needs to run. Having said that, I think this we're partnering with these institutions and these specific programs because, in all honesty, they are the most agile ones. In some cases, it's because they're profit-based. They're a profit center. They have to generate revenue. In other cases, it may be that they're a relatively small scale and have to get creative, as it were, in terms of how they leverage resources, how they look at business process standardization to get the greatest efficiency, and how they're going after a customer base that is Cole referenced, is really looking for more of a, e-commerce, commercially customer defined experience. And that's, I think one of the greatest strengths that they bring to the table, both in terms of informing our design. We can iterate very quickly with them. We can do prototypes. We can get feedback. That's part of the equation. The other part of the equation is how they can have that dialogue back into the customer base. There's a great network effect in higher education. And so we see this group is able to leverage us, Oracle, as we start building out these designs, sharing it with the overall customer base to really inform the kind of discussion that not only should be having, it's absolutely critical that we have, so we don't keep fighting last year's battles.
And Cole, let me again come back to you, given that your title does say global. Often we think of the needs of individual countries as driven by the institutions or their ministries in terms of driving a lot of this. How does the global engagement, initially of Cambridge with the four U.S. institutions or systems, and then others that might be added, again, stem the issue of not designing for past needs but anticipating future requirements?
Well, as I said earlier, and I think Mark alluded to this as well, there definitely are nuances. The U.S. probably leading the pack globally in terms of this move to a more focus on ROI. What do you get for the investment you make in education? But many of the traditional systems in Europe, which have been about as far away from that as you can get, are starting to shift in that direction. The UK is a great example of that, where there's a lot more skin in the game now by the parents and the students in terms of the investment being made in education. So they're going to be looking at what am I getting for that investment, and so that certainly underpins what we're trying to do. But also, there are many places around the world where a smartphone or a tablet may be the only device that an individual student is going to be using to access the whole range of systems that they'll need to interact with throughout the process of gaining an education. So we need to have that headset on, and certainly, you know, as I say, we have members in the Strategy Council that run the gamut from the types of economies that they come from, and obviously where they are along the spectrum in terms of the development of their education system, both primary and secondary as well as higher ed, and that is very informative to us in terms of how we build these systems, things that we weren't really thinking about, frankly, 10-15 years ago when some of these earlier systems were developed. But I think, again, to kind of harp on something I said before, we're encountering this as a company, in the interactions that we're having with countries around the world in all sorts of industries. So that's very helpful to us. We can draw on that experience, and not just from an education context, but frankly from many other industries as well.
And Steve, let me turn to you for a moment. So you've been patiently listening as Cole and Mark have talked about their expectations and the efforts at Oracle to engage with you and your colleagues. You're a critical member of the task force at Madison. As an outsider learning about this, it seems to me the essence of this initiative is expectations, and that it's the early engagement of campuses at Madison, at Texas, Cambridge, and others provides a critical opportunity for the client campuses and for Oracle to understand the needs and the expectations. How do you expect your institution, how do you expect the University of Wisconsin at Madison to gain benefit from the early participation in the Oracle Cloud Initiative?
Well, we expect to help design and then acquire a product that will help us achieve our goals in lifelong learning. And your question, Casey, about how to look forward, how to make sure we're looking forward, I thought was a very astute one, so that we're not fighting the battles of the past, as you say. Oracle, as part of the early stages of their design program, brought some designers of their own to our campus, as well as to the campuses of the other design partners. And when we met with them, we put some people in the room, too. And when we did that, we made sure that the people in the room from our side were folks that were, in fact, not that conversant in the student information system. They were conversant, however, in their business. And they were, members of their professional organizations who were very well attuned to the direction of the industry. And so we wanted to make sure that we were giving Oracle some people to work with who were not so constrained by any of the assumptions of what we currently work with.
And Cole and Mark, let me turn to you now. Student information systems are these big, complex entities. It's not one constituent in terms of Steve and his counterparts in enrollment management, but there's dozens, if not hundreds, on a campus with all kinds of titles and all levels of access. You have students that want to be able to see transcripts, want to be able to see financial information, other kinds of things. Increasingly, the information system has taken a more direct role in advising than it had in an earlier time. Obviously, there's the analytics that come off of this. Steve's going to be serving multiple other sites that are part of a UW system within the larger University of Wisconsin system, a kind of a Madison system and beyond. What do you do with all the different people that are touching all the different parts of this design elephant challenge, if you will, as you go forward in terms of your expectations from these campuses that are involved in the pilot work?
Sure. It is, as you noted, it is big and it's complex, and we tend to think of it as the primary core administrative application for university. One of the reasons we engaged with this set of customers was they were willing to establish a long-term design relationship with us. So as we phase through future versions of the product, which we can cycle through more effectively as a cloud-based product, at least more quickly, they've made the commitment to bring the right resources to bear with the right expertise, so that as we get to those points, we can drill in where we need to rethink some things. And you mentioned students, Casey. That's a big component of this. We want to be able and have started putting some of the prototypes in front of students today. The days of when we build the back end and then sort of, oh yeah, now let's put in integration. Oh yeah, let's put in self-service on the front end. You know, those are gone. That has to be part of the fundamental architecture, it should be done almost before you're done with the underlying database schema. Because that student experience is so important, because we need to understand what aspects of the product need to be componentized to give customers more flexibility. The days of delivering a huge monolithic student information system are also past. But I'd say, you know, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that we need the commitment at the executive level for this kind of vision and, in many cases, transformation. So people like Steve at Wisconsin, you mentioned previously, you mentioned Cambridge, you know, which is, of course, probably thought of as one of the most traditional of the traditional institutions. But we were hugely compelled by a transformational long-term plan being put in place by their new CIO. We're working with their continuing studies group to start, which is growing rapidly. But they have literally going up to the highest levels of the institution, a mandate to transform and to leverage available products wherever possible, which then gives them the bandwidth to focus on what's really core to their institution, where those differentiators are. And I think finding that balance is incumbent on us and sort of weaves its way throughout the projects and the requirements and the time that we get those out to customers.
Cool, Clark. Yeah, we've been talking about design. And so this product is one that is in design. There's a lot of ongoing conversation between the five campuses involved in the cloud initiative with Oracle. What's the rollout? You know, what's the timeline for this? At what point will not just the five campuses, but others that are Oracle clients and others that would like to be Oracle clients be able to touch this, look at it, kick it, test it?
Well, we have some early prototype demos that we're able to show today. Our first target for our first release of the initial phase of the product is the end of calendar 2015, but I'll let Mark speak to that in a little bit more detail. I did want to, if you don't mind, follow up a little bit on what Mark just said, though, about the catalyst for change and how I think some of the institutions will use this product and, frankly, others in our cloud portfolio as a as a catalyst for moving away from some of the legacy, heavily customized and, frankly, burdensome administrative systems that have not provided the kind of insight. And I reflect back on some of your data, Casey, from your campus computing survey that illustrates the level of frustration, I think, that a number of executives in higher ed have expressed about the lack of insight, the lack of information that the data on their campus is providing them in terms of decision making, quality, being able to support quality decisions about the future. And I think that's what, at least I hope, many institutions will leverage some of these cloud offerings as an opportunity to change the fact that they're on the horizon. You know, this in the case of the student system, as I said, that's a late 2015 for first release, but we have cloud offerings in our human capital management and financials, as well as our CX or CRM portfolios that can be catalysts for change today, so that institutions can start to move towards a more standardized business process, leverage the systems and the data more effectively, and hopefully begin to make this shift away from the heavily customized and rather burdensome systems of the past. And not to sound too much like an Oracle commercial, but I think we're in a unique position to help institutions make that transition, because we've been a part of the higher ed administrative IT ecosystem for a decade or more, and we have the ability to help them make these incremental steps. I think cloud often gets cast as this throw out the old and bring in the new, but I think a much more rational, measured approach of taking practical, less disruptive steps toward cloud is in order, and I think we're in a great position to help them do that. Sorry not to answer your question directly, but let me turn it back over to Mark, who can talk a bit more about the rollout plans.
Fair enough. Mark, rollout?
Sure. So as Cole notes, we our initial target for a pretty significant set of student administration functionality is late 2015. And that's where we're, you know, the good old aspects of student fee processing, enrollment, and a number of, you know, automated provisioning of students, some integration to value-added systems like learning management and a few others. But, you know, we're also, as we've had discussions with the customer executives and we looked at the architecture, we're also kind of evaluating are there other things, aspects that are part of the student cloud, planned for the student cloud, that we could accelerate, that makes sense for us to accelerate and bring to market ahead of some of the other, you know, resequence, if you will, what our initial rollout plan was. So I'm not trying to be cagey here. We're just sort of deep in some analysis around that, but we'd like to get some functionality in the customer's hands, you know, student cloud functionality in the customer's hands, or give them an option at least sooner than the end of 2015 for some of these value-added processes, and would love to talk a little bit more about that in perhaps a future discussion or as you know towards the end of the year.
Great. So as we close, I want to ask each of you a version of the same question to Steve Hahn at Madison, to Cole Clark and Mark Armstrong at Oracle. What haven't we touched on in this initial conversation about the Oracle Student Cloud Initiative that's important? What don't I know to ask you that should be part of this conversation for the audience that's listening with us today? Steve, let me turn to you first. What didn't I ask that's important? What do you want folks to understand about Madison's participation in the Student Cloud Pilot that's critical?
Well, I think this conversation has touched on a number of points, and I think we've talked around what I see as a central transformation that has occurred. And so I would just like to put my finger on it. I've had a background in information technology and admissions, and I've worked in the private and public sector, and I can tell you firsthand from a customer standpoint that when every one of the early adopters were putting in our initial student information systems, let's say, you know, 15 years ago or more, the questions we were asking were questions that said something like, how can we make this information system, whether it's Oracle's or anyone else's, look exactly like what we do on this campus? Because what we do is so unique. It's so different than anyone else in the Big Ten, in our case, or in the nation or in the world. And so we must have it. And often that is accompanied by a lack of critical assessment of whether or not what we're doing is really adding value. And so as you fast forward now to the cloud and you talk about the standardization of business process, you find that those early questions are no longer interesting questions. The questions now are, how do we differentiate where we add value and recognize the benefits of standardization where we don't? And I think identifying where we add value and where we don't, and being willing to work together with our peer institutions on where we all kind of do the same thing and in roughly the same way, this is to all of our benefit, because any one of us can make these systems do what we want them to do by and large. But it comes at an attendant cost of customizations and programming and a whole host of other expenses that we hope to not have to worry about as we move to a cloud-based environment.
Cole Clark, what didn't I ask you that's important to this conversation? What do you want people who are interested in the cloud initiative to understand that we haven't touched on today?
Well, I think first and foremost, while the development of the student system is at the core of our efforts for cloud in this industry, it's important to note that we're not stopping there. We're building out a complete higher education cloud that's inclusive of the broad spectrum of application areas that you would need to effectively run the academic enterprise, human resources, financials, CX, CRM, you know, to use the common vernacular. And so there's efforts underway to ensure that the capabilities are there that are necessary to meet the needs of the global higher ed market in those cloud applications, as well as this ground up effort in the student information system arena. I think, you know, Oracle carries with it a connotation of big and expensive and built for major financial institutions or, you know, big oil and gas companies. You know, higher ed isn't always top of mind when folks think of Oracle, but there's definitely a strong focus on this as a core strategic market. And as I said, we're building out this set of capabilities in a higher ed cloud that's very, very comprehensive. It isn't meant just to be about the student system. I guess the one other point I'd make is that we believe we can deliver these capabilities as very, very efficiently and at probably the lowest cost in the industry. And the reason I say that is because pretty much unlike any of our competitors, we have under the covers at Oracle all of the underpinnings necessary to build the complete stack that supports these applications, all the way from the silicon, you know, from our Sun acquisition several years ago, up through the extremely important platform capabilities, middleware, multi-tenant database, and so forth, right up through to the application. We're not leveraging or harnessing third parties for those. That's all Oracle IP. So we're building and developing data centers that all this will run in around the world. So I think we feel like we can do this very, very efficiently and at an extremely competitive cost, which again sometimes tends to be a perception issue that we have as a big multinational company.
Great, Mark Armstrong. What haven't I asked you? What do you want to be sure people understand about where Oracle's going with the Student Cloud Initiative?
Well, you know, I think it's sort of the flip side of I think what Steve was talking about, and it's most fundamental. Why is a customer, why is a higher institution going to move to a student cloud system, and certainly in the case of the Oracle Student Cloud product? That may sound kind of interesting coming from the guy working on the product development, but in my discussions with customers, there is still a dichotomy between what they want out of a student cloud product, what they need, what they're being driven sometimes by their executives or direct customer demand, and some of their underlying planning assumptions about how they're going to get there and how ultimately the product is going to function. So we can build just about anything. The worst thing we can do is build something that's not compelling for the market, or build what we think meets customers' requirements, but if they're not quite there yet, then that isn't necessarily the best use of resources. So I think what is most important is to continue the dialogue with customers at multiple levels, talk about what it means to go to cloud applications and a cloud student information system specifically. We have more work to do around strategic planning and understanding what those business trade-offs are. And I think, like a lot of things in higher ed, ultimately that is often the biggest challenge. And we need to keep pushing there.
Great. So with that, I want to thank Steve Hahn, who is the Interim Vice Provost for Enrollment Management at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Cole Clark, Global Vice President of Oracle Education and Research, and Mark Armstrong, Vice President of Oracle Higher Education Product Development, for this informative and engaging conversation about student information systems, cloud computing, and the Oracle Customer Strategic Design Program, which is working very closely with a group of 5 campuses in the United Kingdom and in the United States at a very early stage in design to lay out specs, lay out requirements, talk about the future needs as opposed to catching up with the past in terms of Oracle Student Cloud offering. My thanks to our audience for joining us today for this podcast, a This Week at Inside Higher Ed sponsored postscript featuring a conversation with Oracle Corporation about the Student Cloud. This Week at Inside Higher Ed is a production of G2 Education. You can find us on the web at insidehighered.com/thisweek.